From Genetic Engineering and Biotechnology News, this is the GenCast Network. Bringing you compelling and in-depth interviews with the biotech industry's leading researchers, newsmakers, and thought leaders. Sponsored by Northwestern University School of Continuing Studies, Master of Science in Quality Assurance and Regulatory Affairs. Attend a Chicago information session on January 21st. More at scs.northwestern.edu. This week on the GenCast Network. Dr. Inder Verma from the Salk Institute for Biological Studies is interviewed by Gen's editor-in-chief John Sterling about a new glioblastoma mouse model.
Dr. Inder Verma is a professor in the genetics laboratory at the Salk Institute for Biological Studies. He is one of the world's leading authorities on the development of viruses for gene therapy vectors. Dr. Verma, you and your research group reported in the January 4th online issue of Nature Medicine the development of a new mouse model of glioblastoma. What is so novel about your new mouse model?
Most of the mechanisms and manners in which people study human tumors are either taking human tumors, biopsies, and then they are put back into a nude mouse, meaning a mouse which has no competent immune system because you're putting human cells into a mouse, and they go on to make the tumor. And those are the way, these are called xenografts. This is how most brain tumors and other tumors have been studied, because then they can test drugs and so on these human tumors in the mouse. But human tumors don't grow in mouse in large numbers. For example, tumors don't start by bringing in millions of cells and putting them into the brain. Tumor starts by one cell, maybe two, maybe 10, undergoing a mutation, then a second mutation, then a third mutation, and perhaps a fourth. That's how tumors originate. So tumors originate in a normal cell and is supported by the normal cellular milieu. But all the model system that we have devised to date, either the xenografts or the transgenic model, where you put an oncogene into an animal and then turn the oncogene in the brain. But every cell in the brain, that oncogene is now turned on. Again, we know tumors don't come where the entire brain is going to make that oncogene. Similarly, the other way to make tumors is to knock out what is called an anti-oncogene or a suppressor gene. But again, the mechanism that we use to date, every cell in that brain cell tissue will be knocked out of that particular gene. So there's a complete problem here that all the model systems that have been used to make tumors do not capitulate the way human tumors are started, initiated, and progressed. So we argued, wouldn't it be nice to find a way by which we can introduce the oncogene or remove the suppressor gene by introducing the gene in one cell in a normal brain, in an immune-competent mouse? Well, we couldn't do one, but we were managed to do as low as 50 cells. Now, there are billions of cells in the brain. We managed to do in 50 cells. And the way we did was to make a viral vector, in this case a lentiviral, which is based on HIV, introduce the genes that are known to cause brain tumors and remove the genes that are known to actually also necessary for causing the brain tumors, directly introduce this virus stereotactically into the brain, either in the region which is called hippocampus or in the region of subventricular zone or in the cortex, and ask the question, do these genes specifically expressed just in these few cells have the ability to cause brain tumors of the type of glioblastoma? Because this is a much more natural model, meaning A, that it is in few cells, B, the few cells which are tumorigenic are surrounded by the normal cells, and C, it is in a completely immune-competent mouse so that the immune system has the full privilege to act against them. On top of that, we were also able to introduce a marker, in this case a GFP, so the tumor cells are green, so we can follow them wherever they go in the mouse. So that's the novel about it, that it is much more similar really recapitulate the human tumor models.
So how does your mouse model specifically avoid the limitations of other currently used cancer models?
So the first is that it is very few cells. Second, it allows the normal cell to contribute. See, if you take a tumor cell very often and you put them with the normal cells usually prevail and somehow the other destroy the tumor cell. So, for example, we would be all coming down with constantly tumor because of all the time mutation, but the normal cells can handle that. And our model system can do that, whereas the other models that exist cannot do that because every cell there has a mutation of that gene. So there is no normal cell surrounding it because only tumorigenic cells are being surrounded by tumor cells. So that's the big difference. It's much more like a normal human origin of a tumor.
Why did you specifically target astrocytes with your lentiviral vectors, and what were the results of such targeting?
So astrocytes are the glial cells, and glioblastomas originate from the glial cells. So we targeted to the glial cells to ask the question that so what is the origin of glioblastoma? Nobody quite knows except the thought is glial cells. So we actually introduced them both in glial cells and also in the neurons. We only saw the tumors in the glial cells. So we know that these astrocytes, which are the glial cells, are the progenitors of these tumors. Therefore, we targeted them specifically to the astrocytes. We also did them to neurons, as I said, but they didn't cause any tumors, so we know it's the astrocytes that are the progenitors.
I read that your research study was based on the cancer stem cell hypothesis, which posits that cancers grow from stem cells in the same way healthy tissues do. How did you test to see if the induced glioblastomas in your mouse model contained bona fide cancer stem cells, and what did you eventually discover?
So the cancer stem hypothesis is an interesting one. It says that in a tumor, there are cells which have the ability to continuously reproduce themselves, and hence they're called the stem cells. And there could be very few cells. For example, in blood tumors, there could be as little as one or two cells in a background of other million cells. But in the case of the brain tumors, when we took only 10 cells of the tumor, 10 cells, 100 or 10 cells, and put them back into the normal mouse brain, they all make tumors. So that would suggest that every cell in the brain tumor cell, in the glioblastoma, have the ability to make new cancers. And this is why, even if the surgeon removes 99.99999% of the tumor, even one cell or 10 cells left behind, because they have the properties to be able to re-replicate themselves, become a cancer cell. Therefore, glioblastomas always recur because there's no way to get rid of them because every cell has the potential to again become a cancer cell.
Now that you have this new mouse model, what avenues of research will now be opened?
So the first thing we would like to know is what are the genes which are turned on in response to the oncogenes, first oncogene or a second oncogene, and how long does this tumor take to become a real tumor? For example, this we introduced in 50 cells. Our dream is one day 2-in-1, but right now we have 50 cells. How long did it take us to make the tumor? What genes underwent changes in addition to the genes we put it in? And we found them that there are certain genes which have not turned on, which was not the case prior to making them a tumor cells. And now we are taking those genes and making drugs against them and asking the question that if we block that particular gene, which is a downstream effect of the oncogene, will there be a tumor or not? So in fact, we already have drugs against one such marker called Aurora kinase, for example. It's a kinase. When we put that drug into it, the tumors are not formed. So the first thing it does for us is to study how the tumor cells migrate from one position to the other. Two, how do the tumor cells undergo changes to become a fully metastatic cancer? And three, what are the genes undergoing changes? And four, this is a marvelous model to then test new drugs because it's much more authentic to the human model system.
I'm John Sterling. Thanks for listening. If you would like to comment on this week's podcast, please go to our podcast section at www.com. jenengnews.com and give us your thoughts. We'd really like to hear from you. Bye for now.
To learn more about topics discussed in this GenCast, or to listen to previous GenCasts, visit our website at www.genengnews.com. New GenCasts are posted every week, Thursday, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For the Gen Publishing editorial staff, I'm Jonathan Ellinghaus, saying thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week to the GenCast Network.